I could see the man, and he, it looked like he was in a, like a brown uniform, like, and he kept looking at me. He'd look right in my eyes, and then he'd look down by my bed on the floor. And I thought, what is down there? What is he looking at? So I leaned over and looked down, and there was this girl sitting on the floor, huddled real close to my bed, and she was afraid. She was really afraid. She was like, she was shaking, and her expression, you could tell she was really afraid of him. And then all of a sudden they disappeared, both of them at the same time.
I'm Jim Perry, and you are listening to Euphemet, a show about the unknown and our relationship to it. On this edition, the story of a family, both blessed and cursed, with phantom visitors in the night, of shadows that come alive. We ask the question, can the paranormal be inherited? I'm with my friend Dave.
We're in North Spokane, near the Little Spokane River, and it's a beautiful area with flowing water and, yeah, a lot of nature.
In another part of town, my base camp is the spare bedroom of his family's mid-century rancher. They're generously hosting me while I probe into their unintentionally fascinating family ritual. More on that in a minute. Dave and I are deep in a philosophical exchange. This is never a challenge, getting deep with Dave. Since I met him around 7 years ago, we have had this very sort of discussion about every time we meet up, usually centering around the eternal question, what does it all mean?
I think that not knowing is the origin of excitement. It is. You know, because if there were no unknown, there'd be no excitement. Everything would become mundane and already understood.
Dave has been fascinated with the unknown since he was a kid, since his first frightening encounter. He shared frequent trips to metaphysical centers with his mom. They witnessed elderly women bending kitchen utensils with their minds. This whole time, Dave has been trying to wrap his head around his personal supernatural lore, asking why? Why did they visit me?
What was your phrase? Because we were talking about how folks were...
Lineage. If things are passed down. You know, as far as states of well-being or perceptual awareness, beyond the boundary of normal awareness. And I don't know. I mean, could be, and if it is, what is it? I tend to think it's not necessarily like physical, genetic expression at the gene level, although it might be able to be seen there. I don't think that's necessarily the cause. That would just be evidence of the effect. I don't know. Well, that's part of the mystery. Maybe. Yeah.
Next, we explore what all have we inherited after this. I wanted to talk to you real quick about Empty Faces. It's the paranormal investigation game delivered right to your doorstep each month. From the creators of Hunt a Killer, these guys have really reimagined the art of storytelling yet again with this, and drop you right in the middle of a paranormal investigation. They've been featured in BuzzFeed, Fast Company. The editors at Bustle are just writing about them weekly, and it's because Empty Faces is building this cult-like community around interactive investigation. I can't recommend a membership enough. To help support the show, they've offered a 10% discount code for our listeners, which is tracked to this message. Use the code JIM, J-I-M, and get 10% off. So head on over to emptyfaces.com and register now. Tell them that we sent you. happy sleuthing.
My first experience with something supernatural was when I was in elementary school. And it would have to do with laying in bed at night, you know, becoming conscious, opening my eyes, and seeing what looked like red and green glitter in the air. And it was like it was being blown around on wind currents. And being curious about what that was, intrigued by it, not afraid. And then at some point, and I don't know when this really started, but or if it was always there and I just didn't look, but at some point along the way, I look down at the foot of my bed and there's like three heads down there. You know, when I think back on it, they didn't seem like they were in any way negative or unfriendly. In fact, they seem more like, you know, what you might call an enlightened being, or, you know, a master, a light worker. I don't know what or who they were. I remember being aware that they were communicating amongst themselves, but not necessarily to me. And I don't remember having any conscious awareness of what they were saying. But at that age, they did scare me. And I didn't stay in my room very long once I realized they were there. And at some point, I get up and, you know, run in and crawl in bed with my mom.
I wish I would have had somebody sleeping with me that night that they were all marching through my room, you know, a whole line of them.
My mom starts telling me that she has, since she was a small child, she would wake up in the night and she would see people in her room.
Well, at first I was a little, not really afraid, but wondering what they wanted and why are they here, you know? I can remember feeling that way. I just woke up in the night and started looking around the room because I'm used to seeing things. And these people were in a row, and they were, there was quite a few of them, like 15 maybe or so, and they were all walking across my bedroom, and it was reminded me of people getting off of a bus or a train or something, and I didn't get up and follow them that time, but there was other couples that were walking through when I would get up and try to follow them because I wanted to see where they were going, what they were going to do in my house. But they disappeared after they went through my bedroom door. And where did they come from? How come? How come I'm the only one that can see them? You know?
And then at some point, I made this conscious effort to ask them to leave. They were scaring me. And I never experienced it again. And in many ways, I really regret having done that. You know, because if I'd been older and less prone to being fearful in a situation like that, I would have tried to have probably made contact, have some type of dialogue. But that didn't happen.
When I was young, it was just preschool and first grade, mainly. And I remember being outside and liking to be by myself. I'd walk around the fences because they had cattle and cows and horses, mules. And I would be talking all the time. And my mother would wonder, why is she talking? Who is she talking to? There's nobody there. She's got to be talking to herself. But I was talking to my invisible friends that I could tell. I could see them, but they couldn't. They didn't know anyone else was there. And my mom would say, Biddy can talk to a fence post and make it answer, because I was out by the fence out there. Yeah. Oh, the two little girls. They were probably preschool or first grade, and they were sitting there side by side, and the cat was up ahead of them, close to the head of the bed. And they were watching the kitty and laughing and reaching out to the kitty, and I raised my hand up to say hi, and one of them reached her hand out and touched the tips of my fingers. It made me happy, because it also verified the fact that they were seeing me. They were seeing me, and they knew I was there. I like that. Yeah, they're people. Their body. I mean, you see them. You don't just see through them or anything. They're there. When I was real upset, my grandmother, my great grandma, Ruthie Jane, she would come to me several times. She came to me, and then I asked my dad. I said, Dad, I am seeing great-grandma. And so he just told me that she was there to comfort me, because that was the way she was. She was a very sweet lady, and she would have come if she could.
Do you think this stuff is passed down?
I think it must be. I do. I think it must be. I would bet that my great-grandma knew about it and knew how to do it, because she knew how to get to me to try to help. Yeah, so I think it probably is.
Hi, I am Lizzie, and I am Dave's daughter. And I see strange things too sometimes. Oh, well, one time there was a really scary thing hanging over the edge of my bed. And I was really freaked out, and my sister and I had a bunk bed. My sister is closest in age to me, and I was really freaked out, so I climbed down onto the bottom bunk where she was and woke her up and told her that there was something there, because she knew that I have problems with weird things. And I told her it was really scaring me, and she said, yeah, I know, I can feel it. And I said, you can feel it? Well, I can see it. Where is it? And she pointed right at it, as the creepiest thing of my entire life, that she pointed. She knew right where it was. She's like, yeah, it's right there. When I was a little kid, I wouldn't get up out of bed at night when it was dark, because I knew there was something there and I could see like shadows. And I would just hide in my bed until it was light out. I feel like they're always there, but they only come through to where I can see them sometimes. And it's typically at night, not always. Usually they seem more like shadows, and very rarely do they have a face. There is one particular one that would come and it would tell me that I had to do something, but it was never specific about what. Otherwise it would hurt me and my family. And it didn't like speak, but you could like feel it like in your lower spine, and like it was words going to your head. I'm not sure a good way to describe it, because it's so weird, but it was definitely really creepy.
Yeah, that's scary. Not
to be able to see.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be scary.
Mm-hmm.
At least I get to see the people, you know, what they're wearing and and a little bit of their facial features and stuff I can see.
I wish that some of Grandma's friendly ones would visit me instead. I didn't know that any of my family had ever had anything like this. I never told my parents about it because I didn't think that they would believe me, and I wasn't sure. I guess it must be normal, or somehow I got it from them, or I don't know.
That'd be awful to be scared of those things. That wouldn't be nice at all.
I've never experienced anything like you or Grandma see. Not really. Not at all.
Her mother and I didn't have the best relationship toward the end of our experience together. And when we would argue, and there would be like enough negative energy, if you will, in the air, she would start to feel an odd tingling sensation in her abdomen. And the next thing she knew, she would be floating around the ceiling. She'd like pop out of her body.
You didn't tell me during the time really that was happening. You didn't tell me until after.
I was creeped out and I didn't know if I should tell people these things or not.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't. I never really told anyone about it, so I wasn't sure.
I can see that with the society as a whole, but after all the stuff we've talked about, it's really not.
I didn't really know much about that then when I was younger.
Maybe not so much.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of didn't want to take you into a realm of thinking or like a state of consciousness that you'd then take back to your mom's and cause all kinds of chaos with.
She might say you couldn't come right? see us.
Well, I wasn't so much worried about that as I just didn't want to have you make things hard for yourself without realizing you were going to do that because you just something came out of your mouth. You heard it, your dad's, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I tried to set a boundary.
I think there are a lot more people, families, out there that experience this stuff than is commonly known. I think most people don't speak of it for obvious reasons. You know, it's just not well received in many areas of our society. You know, that said, I do believe birds of a feather flock together. I believe that we live many lives around the same souls that we've been with before in different relationship contexts, but together with those same beings. But, you know, so does that have anything to do with it? You know, do you have a higher degree of those types of experiences around groups of souls who have cultivated that stuff over time, over many lifetimes? I don't know. Or is it just normal and people don't talk of it, right? That's hard to say.
What did I tell her?
Yeah, what did you tell her?
I don't remember.
What would you tell her now about that?
What? Tell her now.
He's gonna get you. You can't answer.
That they could be anything or nothing.
They're definitely something.
They're definitely there.
I don't disbelieve that. I mean, not at all. I don't disbelieve that. I just think in the realm of what's possible, they could be anything or nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And it's hard to say.
She sees, like, shadow people.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
As
you know, is that because that's what they are? Or is it because her perceptual awareness can only perceive them as such?
Either that or those beings can't show themselves completely for some reason.
Some like, of them are definitely not friendly.
Like they only come partway into this reality.
Yeah.
And so they look like that.
They might.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
Keep the identity.
We'd have to take one of them out to coffee to find out, probably. And so, thus far, it doesn't seem like that's something that's an option.
Maybe we could create a conference where some of yours come and
the dark and the light.
Yeah.
She can keep the old dark. I don't want them. I like my nice folks.
It's very important here at UFAMET that we build a community around this show and around these stories. It really helps us connect with each other in a more intimate way. And one of the things that can help us get there is if you go take our survey on UFAMET.com. The insight from this allows us to make the show much, much better and gives you a chance to shape how this show sounds and feels. So just look for the top banner at UFAMET.com and let's keep searching together. Back at the creek with Dave, trying to make sense of how unique each family member's experience with the anomalous really is. Again, left with more big questions. What does it all mean?
Is it that we had sensory experience outside the normal physical realm, and each of us had a very different experience? Or is it that we had a similar experience outside the normal perceptual realm with very differing perceptual interpretation? Well, I don't know.
What do you feel?
I feel that in order to know the answer to that, I would have had to have had an opportunity to have Lizzie's experience or my mother's experience. And outside that opportunity, how would I ever know? Right? If that sort of thing is passed down lineage-wise, I think I'm more inclined to think that it's patterns of thought and vibration being exposed from generation to generation down the line by the people that are around. And that those patterns of thought and vibration then become evident through perception, through maybe through analyzing gene expression, through the manifestation of undesired health states, which also show up in gene expression. But the origin is pattern of thought and vibration handed down over generations. So then you say, is it generational? Well, yeah, in some way.
Thank you for listening to this edition of UFAMET. Now, it's time for you to be a part of the show. Help us create our next episode by completing our survey at UFAMET.com and join the Society of UFAMET group on Facebook to keep connected, to keep searching together. Also, make sure to follow us at UFAMET on social media. This has been UFAMET. I'm Jim Perry. Until next time, keep looking up. To talk to you real quick about Empty Faces. It's this paranormal investigation delivered right to your doorstep each month. From the creators of Hunt a Killer, these guys have reimagined the art of storytelling yet again and drop you right in the middle of a paranormal investigation for you to discover a universe and find answers to the unexplained. You join by visiting emptyfaces.com and applying for membership. They're growing so fast they've limited their membership to 500 each week. If you're accepted, you'll receive an email with a private link to complete your registration. From there, a package arrives on your doorstep each month, filled with physical items and correspondence that have to be decoded, deciphered, and investigated to unravel the story. And there's forums, secret Facebook groups, podcasts, and live videos to help you through your sleuthing. They've been featured in BuzzFeed, Fast Company, hell, the editors at Bustle are writing weekly about their journey. And it's because Empty Faces is building this cult-like community around their interactive investigation. I can't recommend this membership enough. And if investigating isn't your thing, you probably know someone who would love this as a gift. To help support our show, they've offered a 10% discount for our listeners, which is tracked to this message. Use the code JIM and get 10% off. That's JIM, J-I-M, for 10% off your first month. And if serial killers are more your thing, check out huntakiller.com and use the same discount code, Jim. So head on over to emptyfaces.com and register now. Tell them UFAMET sent you.